Once again, we always appreciate the invitation to be here and appreciate the devotion. It did make sense, but I know what he goes through. It seems like every time I prepare something at one point or another, I just have to hope that it does make sense. And we're going to try to do that this morning. I think the devotion is actually going to play into the Sunday school lesson, the message this morning, pretty well. And we're going to attempt once again to kind of use the Sunday school hour as a jumping off point to the message this morning. So if it doesn't make complete sense yet, just hang on. Hopefully we'll be able to bring it totally around this morning. But if you will, you could turn your Bibles over to the book of Isaiah chapter 2, if you will. And as you're turning there, I just want to bring to mind Matthew 17:20, which says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So we see here that through faith it is possible to move mountains. And that is true. And then Isaiah chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse number 1 and just read a few verses here. He says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So I know these verses seem pretty far off from where we are today. You know, as we made mention in the devotion, you know, many have lost the sight of the Lord. They've lost that. And we're talking this morning a little bit about, with everything going on, we know Revelation. We know what happens in the end. We know that God's people win. But the path to get there doesn't always seem pleasant. We don't want to get to that. We don't want to go through those things we have to get to the end. And in these verses in Isaiah, it says, you know, eventually, everybody's going to go to the mountain of the Lord. Eventually, the Lord's house will be built on that mountain. Everybody's going to go and worship it. And that seems so far-fetched where we are today. This morning, we're going to, in the Sunday school hour, we're going to look at some mountains in the Bible. And if you look at mountains in the Word of God, they're usually something great happens around mountains. Something great happens around the mountaintops. When they get to those mountaintops, it's something miraculous. Something for us to really just look at and study and just to glory God for it. And here in Isaiah, we see the mountain of the Lord, how great that is going to be when we all worship the Lord. Not just a few of us, but everyone in the nations are going to worship the Lord on these mountains. In Matthew 17, again, where it says that faith can move mountains. And I believe that to be true. But it also takes a lot of faith to climb mountains sometimes, to get to the peak. And we're going to look at some of these mountains, like I've said, and we're just going to kind of go through them quickly. And we don't really want to concentrate on the mountains themselves. That's not really the important. We want to look at the journey it takes to get to those mountains. The journey it takes to get to the top of those mountains. And again, hopefully this morning we can make it all make sense. But if we flip back to Genesis chapter 8, and I believe that all of these are going to be very familiar to us all, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one. But in Genesis chapter 8, we're going to look at Mount Ararat. We all know this mountain. We all know what's going on here. But in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1, of course, dealing with the flood and Noah built the ark and all those things. And it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." You know, and that word Ararat there, we know it's a mountain range. We don't really know exactly which mountain it was. We know that it was part of this mountainous range, but it means the curse reversed. But if you think about its peak, you know, Noah came after all that time in the ark, being tossed about with those winds and those storms and the rain, and he comes to rest at the peak of this mountain.
And again, it's not the mountain we want to consider, but the journey it took Noah to get there. Think about the faith Noah had to have to reach that peak. You know, when the Lord told him to build this ark, I can only imagine Noah's response was, okay, but what's an ark? What is this thing you're going to have me build? And then when God told him it was going to rain, he had to ask the question, what's rain? What is this water going to come from heaven? This has never happened before. Think about the faith it took Noah to build this ark. Think about it. Think about all those 120 years that it took Noah to build. The preaching, when people ask him, what are you building? And he's trying to explain what it is, and he's trying to teach the Word of God and preach the gospel or preach the Word. And not one was converted. We know the only people saved were his family. Think about the faith it took Noah to continue. A lot of times we want to give up after we see, well, no one's coming to church anymore, or no one new's coming through these doors, no one new's coming forward for salvation or baptism, and we want to give up. But Noah preached this long and built this ark for over 100 years, and not one person came to know the Lord. Not one person. I mean, think about that. Think about that peak. Think about that journey Noah took. And after he built the ark, him and his family got in. They trusted the Lord to shut the door. And upon that ark, he had to trust the Lord that the animals weren't going to eat him. The animals weren't going to eat each other. The animals weren't going to destroy the ark that he built. He had to trust the Lord. And think about the time. And if you think about it, there's only one little window on this ark. And when the rain's coming and all those things, I can't imagine there'd be much light in that ark. It was probably pretty dim and pretty dark. And they were just being tossed around, not really knowing what's going on. Think about the faith it took for them just to stay still in that ark and not to try to venture out or try to escape or those things. And eventually, he comes to rest at that peak of Mount Ararat. You know, and eventually, this place came to be a place of promise. What did Noah do as soon as he got off the ark? As soon as the waters were abated and the dove didn't come back, he immediately went off the ark and built an altar and praised the Lord. And it's upon that the mountain where the Lord promised that he was never going to do this again. The earth was not going to be destroyed in this manner again. He placed a bow in the sky and all that. And he also made the promise that I really love in verse 22. Where he says, while the earth remaineth, in seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. The Lord has promised that these things are going to stay. These things are going to continue. The day and night are going to continue until the Lord returns. But think about that journey to come to rest on Mount Ararat. And then if we flip over to Genesis chapter 22, we come to see another mountain. Another mountain that we all know what's going on here. And that's Mount Moriah. In Genesis chapter 22, in verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And again, we don't know exactly which mountain this is. We refer to it as Mount Moriah. And there's actually some evidence or speculation that this mount where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac is the same place where Christ was crucified. We know it's in the same region, same area, but it very well could be this same mountain. And that word Moriah means chosen by Jehovah. This mountain was chosen by Jehovah. This place was chosen by him. So we think about this top of this mountain of Mount Moriah. What did Abraham have to go to get to this mountaintop? Abraham wasn't always a God-fearing man. Now, he was converted. He wasn't a follower of God. But he was converted, took faith to do so, to leave his family, to leave everything he knew before, and kind of venture off on a different path to follow the Lord, the great God Jehovah. And then along this mountain, the Lord comes to him and says, Abraham, I want you to climb this mountain. And when you get to that top of that mountain, I want you to sacrifice your only son. Now, of course, this is after God has already promised that Isaac was going to be a great nation. So I can only imagine the questions that would be going through my mind. Like, what are you doing here? You know, what's going on? You want me to sacrifice this child after you told me he was going to be the father of a great nation? But think about that. Think about that journey of faith it took for Abraham to get to the top of Mount Moriah. He's walking his son up to this mountain. His son begins to ask questions. You know, Lord, you know, where's the wood? We have the wood. We have the means to make fire, but where's the sacrifice? In those famous words from Abraham when he says, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. The Lord's going to provide a sacrifice for this time. But think about that journey. Think about the faith that it took. I don't know of any parent that would willingly sacrifice their child. But Abraham was willing to do what God told him to do. And we know when he got to that peak that God stopped him from slaying his son. But he went as far as tying Isaac up, laying him upon the altar, readied the knife, getting ready to stab his son and offer him to the Lord. And the angel stopped him from doing so. And of course, the Lord provided a lamb there that was caught in the thickets and those things. But think about that journey. How uncomfortable that journey must have been for Abraham to walk up, talking with his son asking questions. And I got to imagine as Isaac got closer, he began to realize what was going to happen. And then when his father was restraining him upon the altar, but the things going through Isaac's mind. The thoughts that were going through Abraham's mind, as closer that knife got. You know, what kind of faith did Abraham must have? You know, at the top of that mountain was a place of complete faith in Abraham. You know, at that point, God was testing. We said he tempted him. He was testing Abraham. And then no one can have any doubts of how much faith Abraham had. And if we fast forward to Exodus chapter 19, we're going to see another mountain. Mount Sinai. We know this mountain very well as well. In Exodus chapter 19, of course, we have the Israelites leaving Egypt. They're wandering around in the desert. They're leaving. They're not sure. They've got the quail. They've got the manna. They've done those things. They've murmured against the Lord. And we come to this point in Exodus chapter 19 where the Lord was going to give Moses the Ten Commandments or the law. And he says in verse number 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So they were here in these places. And then if we could jump back down to, let's see, we want to pick up here. 23. And it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. So this was a special place. The people of Israel could not go up this mountain. And we know it as a place where God was. And he says, and the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. So the people weren't allowed to go to this mountain. Only Aaron and Moses were allowed to go up. So they go to the top of Mount Sinai. They climb that mountain. And of course, this is where God gave them the Ten Commandments. But we think about the journey it took Moses to get to that peak. It wasn't just an easy road. They left Egypt. They had to leave bondage and all those miraculous things that took place to allow that to happen. The faith that Moses had to have to go back to Egypt where he was hated. Go back to Egypt where he was probably scared to go. To go back and try to convince the people to follow the Lord. The things that Moses had to go through to part the Red Sea and to lead the people. At one point, the people wanted to stone him and kill him, but he continued to go. And eventually, he finds himself at the top of Mount Sinai, receiving the law and seeing God face to face. So when Moses came down, his face was glowing. The people couldn't look upon him. But all that faith that Moses had to have to reach the peak of that mountain. But when he got there, it was something glorious, something that no one else has ever taken part of before. He talked with the Lord. He saw the Lord. He saw God. And then we fast forward to Deuteronomy chapter 34. We see Mount Pisgah or Mount Nebo. In Deuteronomy 34, in the first four verses here, again, this is concerning Moses here. He says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead under Dan. and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah to the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, that city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. We see here the Lord leading Moses up into this mountain, up atop of this mountain, so he could see the promised land. The promised land he has heard of, no doubt, for many years. The promised land that was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to the seed of Isaac. And this is the place where Moses got to see the promised land. At the top of that mountain, he got to look out and see the lands that flowed with milk and honey. To see the great land that was going to be promised and that was going to be given to the nation of Israel. But notice how he wasn't able to go in. The Lord says, you're not going to go in. But how much of a blessing it was for Moses just to see the promised land. Think about that journey of faith again. Even after Mount Sinai, when he came down, the people of Israel were making the golden images of the calf and worshiping and dancing and all these unmanner of godless things. And then again, it took them so much. They didn't want to go into the land. Moses led them to the doors of the promised land. And the people were too scared to go in. And they were sentenced to walk in the wilderness for many years. Think about that faith Moses had to have to keep going, to keep leading the people. And then when the Lord reveals to him that he can't go in, Moses didn't give up. He kept going. And he got to see the promised land. At the top of Mount Nebo or Mount Pisgah, he got to take a look at the glorious land. It took Moses his whole lifetime of leading up to this point. Took a lifetime of faith and years wandering around the desert to finally reach that peak of that mountain where he could just see the promised land. It took a lot of faith to get there. If we fast forward to 1 Kings chapter 18, again, another famous mountain. We won't turn there. We won't read there for sake of time. But in 1 Kings 18, of course, we have Elijah going up the top of Mount Carmel to face the prophets of Baal. And of course, when they prepared the sacrifices and Baal could not rain down fire, and then Elijah makes it harder on the Lord and puts water on it and all around it, digs the moat, and the Lord, of course, sent the fire down from heaven, consumed the offering, consumed the rocks and the water and everything around it. What a great victory at the peak of Mount Carmel. You know, Elijah sat there and stood victorious over those prophets. He knew who the Lord was. But think about that journey Elijah took to get to that point. At more than one occasion, Elijah felt alone. Elijah felt depressed and discouraged, and it felt like he was the only one. He was being hunted by the king and the wicked Jezebel. He was being hunted. He said that on more than one occasion that he alone remains. But he kept his faith in the Lord. Every time the Lord told him to do something, he still did it. He got to the top of Mount Carmel and witnessed that great victory. All on the peak of a mountain. Fast forward to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 1. This, of course, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. We see the Mount of Transfiguration, that glorious moment when Christ was transfigured. Peter, James, and John got to reach the top of that mountain. They got to see him in his glory. They got to see Christ's face shine as the sun. They got to see his raiment white as the light. What a miraculous thing that must have been for these three men to see. But again, we don't want to necessarily think about the mountain. We want to think about that journey Peter, James, and John took to get there. They left their families. They left their occupations. They left their homes to follow this man, Jesus. If throughout their journeys they've been mocked and criticized, they've been all manner of things against them. People rising up against them, being tossed out of towns. You know, not knowing where they were going to sleep at night, not knowing where their next meal was going to come from. They followed the Lord. Think about all the faith that it took for them to have, to leave their jobs, not to have means to support themselves. And eventually their faith led them to the top of this mountain. They got to see this glorious thing about Christ, his transfiguration, all at the peak of this mountain. It took them years to get to this point. And then we could think about the Mount of Olives. And this mountain, as we all know, is a mountain of prayer. At the base of the Mount of Olives was laid the Garden of Gethsemane. We know the garden there that Jesus went and prayed. And again, those three got to go with him and walk a little bit further with him. But he prayed to the Father. And then we see climbing this mountain. It's the area in which the first Lord's Supper took place. All surrounding the Mount of Olives. And then, of course, this is the mountain where Christ ascended. That he went to be in glory. This is where it took place. Think about the journey it took Christ to get to the top of Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives, to ascend to heaven. The journey of persecution, of the challenges that he faced, and of course had to go through Mount Calvary, which we'll speak on a little bit more this morning, but he had to face Mount Calvary. He had to go through being crucified on the cross in a manner that no man should have to go through. He had so much faith in the Father. Think about the faith again of Peter, James, and John as they go and took the Lord's Supper. Think about the time, the faith that it took them to go there at the side of the mountain. It took a lot of faith and preparation to reach the top of the Mount Olives. It took a lot of faith to reach the top of Calvary, to reach that peak. And that's what we're going to try to hit home this morning. The faith that it takes us for us to get to the mountaintops. Again, we talked about this morning, we know who wins in Revelation. And we can see that as the mountaintop, over in Isaiah, when he says all the nations are going to come and worship the Lord in the mountains. That's what's going to happen at the end. That's the peak of the mountain. That's that what lies there. But the faith that it takes for us to journey to that peak needs to be great. This morning, we're going to look a little bit at Caleb and the mountaintops that he has to go through. But it takes a lot of faith for us to reach the top of the mountains. But in the case of each one of these mountains that we looked at, and there are many more, but something magnificent lies at its peak. We just got to face the challenges and get there and have faith in the Lord that He's gonna lead us to that mountaintop. Let's pray and be dismissed. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you once again for the day that you've given us.